In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. As usual, our readings give us many topics that we could cover, that we could talk about, but I'd like to choose one that we don't often get to talk about, and it comes from the last line in today's gospel. It's sort of a teaching homily today, if you will. Jesus sends out the 12 apostles, and St. Mark says that he sends them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. And then the last line says, they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. This is one of the places in the sacred scriptures that we get information on one of our seven sacraments, the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. Like confession, the sacrament of the anointing of the sick is one of the sacraments of healing. And remember, every sacrament is a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Though it has a minister, it's actually Christ who's bringing the healing, Christ who's bringing all of the things in the sacraments. And the point of every sacrament is, of course, if you might remember, to give us grace, God's grace. What is grace? Grace is the very life of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the divine life living inside your temple. So keep that in mind as we talk about this sacrament and all the sacraments. Now we get more information about this sacrament, the anointing of the sick, in the letter of St. James, also in Scripture. And I can quote this part by memory since I've done this sacrament a few thousand times by this point in 20 years. Is anyone sick among you? Let them send for the priests of the church, and let the priest pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick persons, and the Lord will raise them up. And if they have committed any sins, their sins will be forgiven them. So one reason I would like to today talk about this sacrament is because it is one of the sacraments that sometimes gets misunderstood a bit. So first of all, many people grew up calling this sacrament extreme unction. The words literally mean last anointing, extreme unction, last anointing. And it was the last anointing that a baptized member of Christ's body would receive before death. Now, this isn't really wrong, but since the 1960s, the church has tried to recover the original sense. So it wasn't just for death. It was actually meant to be, as St. James says, is anyone among you sick? So the sacrament is not just for death. The ideal is that it, before that, would be the sacrament of healing. Sometimes that does mean physical healing, but most often it's always the healing of the soul, the healing of the heart, which is even more primary. We'll talk about that. Now, the sacrament is not for every toothache, splinter, and stubbed toe, right? It's not meant for little things like that, a sneeze that you have. If it is serious enough to land you in the hospital or surgery or hospice, then it is serious enough to receive the sacrament, yes. So call, arrange for that. We do it all the time. I often do it after masses. I often do it in my office. Of course, I do it at the hospital. Whenever it's needed, we're there to do it. Interesting thing is the oil that is blessed, that's used, is one of the three that's blessed by the bishop during Holy Week, and it's the only thing that we bless during the Eucharistic prayer. So in that Chrism Mass, the Mass of the Oils on Holy Week, as the Eucharistic prayer is ending, the oil for this blessing is brought over to the bishop, and he blesses the oil. He is connecting the presence of Jesus Christ, the real presence, it is Jesus himself in the Eucharist. He's connecting that to the healing power of the sacrament of the sick. When he walked the earth, he was healing, right? And he continues to do that in this way. Now, I mention sometimes seeing physical healings, and in my 20 years of priesthood, I have seen it. Of course, Jesus always repeats, it is the faith of the person that heals. It's not magic, right? And it's certainly not me, so don't come flocking to me for everything. It's your faith that will heal you. And the first one I recall was in my very first assignment at Christ Our King. This woman, very faithful woman, came. She was going to have open heart surgery, and so she wanted to have the anointing of the sick. And so we went into the sacristy, and we did the anointing, and then she went back to the hospital to get ready for the surgery, and they decided to do one more catheterization, and there were no blockages at all anymore. She didn't need any surgery. Now, there was a young lady named Rebecca in the military in Charleston as well. Her leg was full of infection, and we prayed, did the anointing, and the next day, it wasn't just that she felt better. The infection was completely gone. And finally, just one more, a man with a progressive degenerative disease. The doctor had given him, of course, the number of months, and it was they'd never seen the disease ever heal. And they prayed, and he was praying so he could prepare himself for death. And then as he went back to the doctor, it was unbelievable. And the doctor documented that there was no scientific explanation for his healing. He and his family and I keep in touch even today. And there are many more like that. Of course, though, most all of them are spiritual healings, which for a true believer is even better than the physical. Because remember, now we are waiting for the life of heaven, and we want to prepare ourselves through this life, which is such a gift, but eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it so much as dawned on us what God has prepared for those who love him. That's what St. Paul says. So we prepare for the next world. And so the anointing then either helps us handle an illness that we have, or helps the dying person transition and gives the person the peace that he or she needs in leaving this world. Countless times I've even come to a person struggling, even flailing their arms, and immediately or very soon after the anointing, they stopped and they passed very peacefully. Those who are facing death need the grace of God to accept the end. It's not easy. The sacrament of anointing gives them the peace and the power necessary to resist the evil one as they face passage from this world to the next, to that life beyond the veil. Now keep something in mind for your loved ones. As my experience is, and I've heard it from others, the sense of hearing is the last to go. And so the loved one may not be able to move or speak, but they very likely can still hear you. So get close to them, talk to them, pray with them above all. And also be very careful what you do say around them. So now's not the time to have explosive revelations about your family. And also, one man told me that his family was discussing the harvesting of his organs, and he thankfully woke up in time to tell them, I'm all right. So be careful, step out of the room if you have to talk about some things. Anyway, back to the sacrament. So then, you may have heard the term last rites. What are last rites? Well, primarily, to me, it seems to be a catchy phrase for movies, and there's been so much debate, right? People say, well, they don't exist anymore, or we don't call it that anymore. And some people are desperate to have their loved ones receive the last rites, but they have no idea what they are, what it means. So here is the truth, and so listen to what they are. So the last rites are real, but they are properly called the last sacraments. And notice in both cases, whether it's rites or sacraments, it's plural. There are three here. They consist of three sacraments that a faithful Catholic should try to receive before leaving this world, and in this order: confession, or penance, reconciliation. Number two, the anointing of the sick, which we're talking about. And number three, viaticum. Now that's the last reception of Holy Communion. The word literally means food for the journey. Now, unfortunately, because many people don't really know what they are, especially uncatechized or non-Catholic or non-practicing family members, the priest is most often called long after the person is unconscious. And then the only sacrament of the three that we can give is the anointing of the sick. And sometimes we get the call after the person has died because they didn't want to scare the person. But this, I know this at times is unavoidable for sudden deaths, but sacraments cannot be administered to the dead. Sacraments are for the living. Now, we still pray for the dead, and please call me, we'll come, and we will pray over your loved one. I pray other things then, but I'm not able to give the last sacraments. So ideally, when we know that the end is coming, the time to, as St. Paul says, to leave the body and go home to the Lord, ideally we call for the priest, and then we make the best confession we have ever made in our entire life. You might as well just get it out, right, before you're going to leave this world. You got nothing to lose. And then, of course, you would receive at that point also the anointing of the sick to give you that strength. And then maybe even some time passes until it is your viaticum, your food for the journey, your last Holy Communion. And I have witnessed here countless peaceful deaths this way, and I highly recommend it. St. Paul says to us in the second reading, "In Christ we were also chosen, destined in accord with the purpose of the one who accomplishes all things according to the intention of his will, so that we might exist for the praise of his glory, we who first hoped in Christ." As we think about the sacraments, like the anointing of the sick, and our eventual passing from this world, we recall that we are, in fact, chosen. You're here today because God chose you. You are not a biological accident. You were willed into being through the love of God, and you exist for the praise of his glory. Preparing oneself to leave this world helps us remember the privilege of being so chosen, and the sacraments can then bring us that deep peace of body, mind, soul, and spirit that only a personal encounter with the living Christ can give. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.